would you like to be able to scale your business to eight figures? Jake Settelen will tell us how he has scaled seven businesses to seven to eight figures with consistent million-dollar run rates, and he has won the ClickFunnels Awards and an Inc. 5000 Award for Business Growth, and he has built a $10 million funnel framework using direct response ads and automation. So Jake, tell us, how can entrepreneurs scale their business to eight figures?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Lily, thank you so much for having me. So the biggest way to scale your business to seven, eight, and even nine figures is really going to be focusing on your client acquisition. And the most scalable way to scale your client acquisition and get more leads is using paid ads. So Facebook, YouTube, Google, it's really an unlimited way to tap into more leads and more potential business. And then if you have a system to set up and take those leads to sales, that's what's going to allow you to scale.
Thank you. Tell us what needs to happen in the funnel so that it becomes a converting funnel of clients that buy and they upsell themselves into the next level thing that you're going to offer.
I love that. Yeah. And that is one thing that I see so many individuals make that mistake. And it's really focusing on quality over quantity. So a lot of people will run marketing that's like, get my free ebook or get this or get that. And there's definitely a place in your funnel to have that. But we focus on direct response, which is, hey, Mr. Prospect, we do exactly this. If you're interested, click down below. And number one, that's showing that they have intent of actually buying our service. But then from there, we're also running them through an application where we qualify them and kind of judge them, like, are you qualified? Are you unqualified? And then that's dictating and really kind of restricting the type of people that are coming through upfront before we ever ask for their name, phone, email, a calendar booking. We're always asking questions because if somebody's saying, I don't have the budget, I'm not like really interested in moving forward, we're going to, you know, shoot them somewhere else and say, hey, like now's not the right time. I'm not saying that it's not worth their time for them to get on a call with our sales team, but you know, obviously we want to respect our sales team's time and we want to be as efficient as possible. So it's really making sure that people are as qualified as possible before they get on our sales team's calendar to make sure that it is a very lean funnel. Again, we're not really concerned about cost per lead. We're concerned about cost per call and what's our close rate. Because if we can have a 40% close rate and an 80% show rate, our sales team is going to close more, they're going to be happier, and it's going to lead to a higher net profit from every dollar that you put into advertising.
Thank you. Doing it like this, I assume, must make the cost per lead a lot higher. Give me an example of how much you would have to spend per client. I assume it varies based on industry and what you're offering and how good your actual copy is. But give me an example of, let's say, for like the best possible copy and so on, like how much would someone need to spend per lead in order to get themselves on your team's calendar, for example?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. So it really depends on platform and it depends on industry, but we have some companies that were in the range of $20 to $30, which is on the low end. And then we have some companies that are on the higher end. So it's anywhere from $70 to $90 a lead. And that's for a name, phone, email. And some people listening to that might be like, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's a lot of money. But when 90% of those leads are going and booking an appointment, and again, the show rate is 70%+, close rate's really good. As much as you're paying a little bit more upfront, again, on the back end, you're still getting the same, you know, cost per result, cost per sale, whatever you want to kind of track it as, which could be, again, you know, the same as if you had $1 leads up front and you were getting 1,000 leads. Again, you know, it's really about efficiency.
Thank you. Tell me more about the direct response part of it, like how you actually get people to opt in.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we have a couple different strategies that we use in terms of the direct response. So inside Facebook, and it's really inside of every single platform and just in markets in general, you have three buckets of individuals. You have people that are like very solution aware, like premium solution aware. They're very problem aware. And they're just ready to buy. Those are the people, like, those are the really good leads. You have your second bucket, which is people that are problem aware. They understand they have a problem. They're kind of tinkering with a solution, but they're not really sure what's out there. And then you have bucket three, which are kind of just people that are out there floating around. They're not really problem aware. They're definitely not solution aware. And we play in bucket number one and two, but our messaging is different for each one of those. So we use a lot of static images for our ads. I know a lot of people are big on video and, creator ads, but honestly for us, image is the lowest cost of entry. We don't need to invest a bunch in the video. And, from a result standpoint, they perform just as well. In some cases can perform better, and it's easier for our team to make more images. So we have an approach called offer on image ads, which is exactly what it is. Whereas we take the offer, we put it on an image, we make different designs, and then we launch that. And that's very good for bucket one, because again, they're very solution aware. They understand, what's going on. They're talking to other individuals. And then for bucket number two, we use the same approach, but we definitely do implement more video. Implement more education, where instead of, hey, we can do this for your business. An example would be in the real estate market. Mr. Prospect, I can get you 10 to 15 qualified booked appointments on your calendar every month. For bucket number two, you kind of have to be like, hey, Mr. Real Estate Agent, did you know that, we can help you increase the amount of people on your calendar using X, Y, and Z? So you almost have to educate the people in bucket number two versus bucket number one. But the winning campaign is this, bucket number one and bucket number two, different messaging out, offer on image ads, a little bit more video for bucket number two. And then you take what wins and then you expand out. So you're starting with Facebook, Instagram, even a little bit of Google, and then you take it over to LinkedIn. Whatever messaging is working, scale it out, scale it to YouTube, scale it to TikTok. And that's how you create this crazy ecosystem of winning ads that are, obviously converting and your sales team is selling.
Thank you. So the whole strategy is not that you create like a sales funnel, like a website funnel. It's that you actually get them from the paid ad onto your team's calendar, and it's the teams that actually do the selling. It's not that they go to a sales page, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We definitely have some different strategies where we'll have a low ticket product, but with everything that we do, we've tried webinars. It's just more efficient when we're taking everybody to an actual sales team, versus, trying to do a webinar or an event or something like that. Now that doesn't mean we don't have a VSL. We have that and we make sure that they watch it before the sales call, but we are big on being able to control the narrative and control the prospect's journey into buying our product. And, a lot of that does come down to having a sales team.
Thank you. What about book funnels? Have you tried book funnels as a way to scale to eight figures?
Absolutely. We've done book funnels. We've done low ticket mini products. We've done some mid ticket products. And they're definitely all viable. What I really like about the book funnel and even just any kind of low ticket funnel is that number one, it's kind of, a little bit of a footstep into, doing business with you. It's a micro commitment versus, somebody that, just filled out an application, has never, bought anything from you. They don't really trust you. So it's that micro commitment. But for us, we use that to, you're probably familiar with a self-liquidating funnel, which is we're able to, break even, maybe make a little bit of money on that book funnel or on that low ticket funnel, but then we're booking our, sales team full of appointments again, for very, very cheap because we have a little bit of money coming in up front.
Thank you. What needs to happen so that the motivation of the prospect is big enough as to fill in your application?
Absolutely. That's something that we're not as pushy on because we found, and again, we've had setters, we've not had setters, we've been super bullish on, like crazy outreach, and then we've been a little bit more laid back, and we fall a little bit more in the middle where we're not very bullish on just being like, hey, fill this out, fill this out, fill this out, because I could trick somebody to filling out an application to, get on an onboarding call and then pass that person over to the sales team. But quality isn't there. So we're very middle ground where we're not laid back, we're not relaxed, but we don't push somebody so much. We really are looking at, is this person that's coming through the funnel actually motivated to fill out an application and learn more about how we can help them? And if they're not, that's fine. You're going to get retargeted until you are. With all the ads and everything else that we have going on. So it's again, it's not so much about, how can we find people that are motivated? It's really just picking off the people that are.
Thank you. What are some good emotional triggers to leverage in your copy, in your messaging, to get them motivated to fill out your application?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. And it really comes down to market because these emotional triggers change obviously with the current market conditions, and it also changes industry to industry. How we're going to motivate a real estate agent is going to be completely different of how we motivate a roofer because their pain points are different, their desired outcomes are different. So it's really this, kind of back and forth between all the companies we have of, how are we actually messaging to them. But our biggest, the biggest way and the biggest triggers that we use, obviously FOMO is really great. Kind of having a little bit of a secret formula or, hey, get on the call to be able to look behind the curtain type of aspect. So we're not giving them, quite everything up front. But our biggest thing, I mentioned the retargeting. The best way that we're, using, some of these psychological triggers is actually call to action based retargeting. So give you an example. If somebody, puts or buys a product that has to do with getting rich, and the marketing for it is all getting rich, making a bunch of money, crazy lifestyle, nice cars, I'm going to retarget with that kind of content because I know that the pain point of that person is wanting to make a lot of money, fear missing out because they don't want to, miss out on making all this money and living this crazy lifestyle. So I'm going to retarget with that type of content. Or again, another example is if somebody fills out an application and they're saying, in the application that I'm brand new, what's your motivation? Want to make a lot of money? What's your goal? I want to make, seven figures a month. Okay, again, same thing tells me that I want to make a lot of money. I'm going to retarget them throughout the whole sales process with only that kind of content because that person doesn't have PTSD. They don't have the same, triggers that somebody that's a little bit more experienced and just wants a steady stream of income would. So I'm going to tailor everything that I'm showing that person to their specific wants and needs versus let's say I had somebody else come through that we were marketing in a way that said, hey, have security in 2025, the market's unstable, use this method to, secure your income. And somebody came through and, saw that messaging. All of my retargeting messaging, all my emails, SMS, like everything is going to be off of that emotional trigger. Because if I showed them something about, buying a Lamborghini, making a lot of money, that's not their emotional trigger. That's not what's going to get them to buy. What's going to get them to buy is continuously reinforcing that the way you have security in the current market is by buying our product. So that's how we really, utilize some of those triggers is tailoring it off. How is somebody interacting with us? What ad are they clicking on? What product are they buying? And then also, obviously, when they do fill out an application, what questions are they answering?
Thank you. Which AI tools can be used to optimize the conversion of the ads?
Absolutely. So we're a little bit old school this way. This is the one thing that we don't specifically use AI to optimize because there's so many different things. And one thing we use just, normal ChatGPT will upload our KPIs every week. And, we're not constantly in our ad account. I think that's a big mistake that a lot of people use is every day they're looking at, what are the KPIs? What, oh, shoot, I need to kill this. It spent $50 today and didn't get a sale or didn't get a lead or appointment or whatever. So we do it every week. We really kind of take a step back and be like, hey, every day is going to be different. And we upload KPIs to ChatGPT. And then we're really, it's just manual skilled labor looking in the ad account. ChatGPT obviously can uncover some different trends and, looking at week to week, month to month. But then it's really making educated decisions. That is, out of every single piece and corner of our business, it's actually one of the least AI focused ways that, you know, AI has kind of impacted our business. Obviously, we use it for copy, we use it for creative, we use it for our funnels, but the actual media buying aspect and looking at the KPIs is one way that we haven't really, you know, implemented it, because you have to be a little bit unemotional.
Thank you. What's more effective, having a short application that has only one answer per page, or having a longer application that's like on one page only? Which has proven more effective?
That's a really good question. And we are very big proponents of one question at a time. There's definitely a benefit of having just one big application, because you can, you know, kind of show them like, hey, it's four questions, five questions. They can be like, okay, like it's not going to take me that long to fill these all out. But because of that, it can still be a little bit overwhelming that they're like, oh, I see all these questions, I have to fill all these out. So we're very big on asking one question at a time, with the exception that the first two questions need to be multiple choice or selector. So we don't want to show them upfront that like, hey, you're going to have to fill out a big written paragraph for every single question. We can do that for question 3, 4, 5, 6. First two questions, they need to be multiple choice. And then we also tell them, and we have it on the survey, how many questions are left. So it's, you know, question 1 out of 5. Answer it, goes to the next question. Answer, or question 2 out of 5. Answer it, goes to the next question. So it's definitely better to have one question at a time. I don't think there's ever really a benefit of having the full application shown, unless you really want to, I guess that could be a qualifier where, you know, if you want somebody that's like super interested, but for us, it's one question at a time.
Thank you. I ran into some, you can say, trouble when I had my own application, because initially I was doing paid Facebook ads and I was getting a lot of people that didn't have the money. And then I changed the form where I put, okay, are you making between, you know, 20,000 and 50,000, between 50,000 and 100,000, between 100,000 and 500,000, between 500,000 and a million or more. Okay. And what I've discovered is that, like multimillionaires were putting, like 20 to 50,000, and I couldn't understand what the hell is happening. and then after a while, I changed that to, are you willing and able to invest in your business? Okay. But that doesn't give me like a range of, okay, what kind of thing could I offer to this person that could be potentially of interest? So I'm wondering, how did you go around that in a way that you were able to like successfully get a good answer that kind of gives you a good idea of, okay, this person could be interested in the, I don't know, 15 grand package or the 25 grand or whatever, in the 2000 or in the $100, I don't know.
Yep. No, that's a really good question. That's so funny. Because I've even done that where, I mean, you know, like we're in the high ticket space and people want to make as much money as possible. So if they see that, hey, we can make a lot of money off this, people, you know, they might take on an extra 1,000 or 2,000. So we've definitely done that. And that's kind of funny. But for us specifically, we have two different approaches. One of them will be very upfront with people and be, hey, you know, do you have a minimum of X amount to invest? And it'll be our lowest product. We'll say, do you have a minimum of $1,000 a month to invest if it meant a guaranteed return? Yeah, yeah. Very direct. That can be a big turnoff depending on the industry. Some industry, they don't matter, or doesn't matter. Our latest approach has been conditional, and it's been working very, very well to get qualified people without it being like super intrusive on like telling them the upfront price. So our flow is, we'll ask them, just like you had, you know, kind of stated, we'll say, how much is your business making on a monthly basis? And one way you could do it is, you know, not giving them the lowest option, but people will just do the next one. So we'll say, are you, you know, 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 50, 50 to 100, 100 to a quarter to a mil, something like that. We'll give them a bunch of different ranges. And then for the lowest two options, if they select that, we'll show them another answer. If they select the higher options, you know, let's just say our product is 10 grand. So if they're making above 20 grand a month, we don't really have to worry about it. So if they say, I'm making more than $20,000 a month, we'll just end the survey and enter your info. You're good to go. If they say they make below 20, we'll ask them the next question, which the next question is, hey, please be very transparent with us. How much money do you have, set aside to invest in your business, cash or credit? And then we'll give them ranges again. So we're not telling them the price. We're asking, and then they'll say, between 0 and 5,000, 5 and 10, 10 and 20, 20 and 50, 50 and 100. And usually you'll get about another, like 50% of people will pass that. So if, they're above the, 10K mark, we're selling something for 10K, good to go. Go to the name, phone, email. If they say they have less than that much, then we go to a hard qualifier, which is, hey, our program, we'll be very upfront. We'll say our program is X amount of money. Let's just say we have a payment plan option where they could split it 5 and 5. We'll say, hey, do you have a minimum of $5,000 to invest, if it meant a guaranteed return? If they say no, hard DQ, don't want your name, phone, email, go away. That's a little rude, but that's kind of the process. And then if they say yes to that, okay, no problem. Enter your name, phone, email, book an appointment. So that's how we've used conditional logic, where it's not super, we're not turning people off upfront, but we're still making sure they're qualified.
Thank you. What do you use in order to create this kind of like dynamic application?
Absolutely. So we just use Go High Level. We have a form. We have some custom code that we use to make it just look a little bit prettier than their standard, kind of unsexy form that they have. And then we also, I will say this, the form that we have, because they have a survey and then they have a form. And the survey is one question at a time, but you can't do the conditional logic that I just talked about. Without having a question at the end, it just gets a little tricky. So we have the form, but then the form and asks questions one at a time. So it'll when you like load the landing page, it'll have one question, and then you answer it. And then once it's answered, there's conditional logic inside the form to say, okay, show the next question, and then it'll show and show and show until it gets to the name, phone, and email. But we're big fans of Go High Level. Is it the best out there? No. There's definitely, Typeform, Perspective. Those are two really, really good survey applications, form applications. But Go High Level just integrates with everything that we use. So, we utilize it, and it does the job really well.
Thank you. What's the best way to increase show up rate? Do you do like SMS and I assume email, I guess, normally?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And it's kind of a, it's a big question because it's really everything. Definitely SMS, big on that, big on email. But you can't go overboard because then you're turning people off, especially with the automated messages. But we layer in a couple different things. So one of them I mentioned, the retargeting, and we use something, shout out Jeremy Haynes. He has the hammer them strategy. We have our own take on it, which is when they book an appointment, they go to a specific landing page. We pixel it and then we retarget them everywhere. And we're saying, hey, we're excited to, show you X, Y, and Z. We're blowing them up. We're staying in front of them. So they're consciously like, okay, brand, 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 brand. I have a call with these people. I need to show up. They're a big company. They're worth getting on the phone with. That's another one. But then we've layered in, there's a company called Sendinblue. And what it is, it's an iMessage application. So like a legitimate iPhone for Go High Level, and it hooks up to our CRM. So we layer in a secondary phone number that the prospects are getting messaging from, and it's automated, but the messaging is different. Instead of it like this automated message like, hey Jake, thanks for booking an appointment, you're set for this time, it's very automated. The iMessage is very un like looks very unautomated. So we'll spell things wrong, we'll have lowercase letters, we'll say, hey Jake, it's John, excited to meet with you, And then they're like, okay, this is a blue phone. Like it looks like an iPhone when they're texting it. So it seems like it's a personal message coming from the salesperson. And we have like a 70% response rate to those messages. Cause we'll say, hey John, we still on for tomorrow. And it'll be like, okay, like the salesperson's like going out of their way to message me. And that has helped a lot too. So it's your standard email, SMS, but then it's also everything else. We've tried setters, we've done the whole, make sure you watch a VSL, and obviously that can help out and really getting them prepared. But it's really the human interaction, specifically the SMS, and then just constantly staying in front of them that has helped the show rates the most.
Thank you. So, is the VSL that they need to watch before the meeting, About 20 minutes.
Yeah, we have some that are shorter that we're more focused on them going through our case studies and results. Because we'll send them to what we have, we call it a proof page, which is a VSL at the top. And then underneath, we have all our video testimonials. And some of them, you know, psychologically, I don't really care if they go through the VSL that much because the product's very simple. And I want them to digest all of the case studies that we have and really trust us before they get on the call. But we have some companies where it's very, like a very in-depth product. And there's a lot of steps to it. To give you an example, we have one product where we call it the local celebrity system, where we're getting them booked in like local TV and radio. We're doing all this PR for them, SEO, like a lot of stuff, and it's very involved. So that's more of a 15, 20-minute VSL where it's like, hey, there's a lot going on here. I need you to watch this. I don't really care if you go through testimonials because there's no other product like this on the market. You know, this is, you know, it's more important for you to actually know what you're buying. So there's that. And then we do have, I think one of our companies has like a 30 to 40 minute VSL, somewhere in that range, depending on how fast it's going. And that one is positioned more like a training in a sense, where it's very in-depth, very upfront, like this is exactly what you're getting. And, you know, again, it really depends, but 100% on board with the VSL. It just really depends on the company. But anywhere from 4 minutes, 5 minutes on the low end, all the way up to 40 minutes.
Wow. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just my website, jakesetterlin.com. We have a lot of cool resources on there, links to our community, social media, all that stuff.
Thank you. Tell us more about the VSL. What do you have in the in
Absolutely. So again, you know, it kind of depends on the company because on the like super, super, super short end, where it's 4 to 5 minutes, you can't really fit a lot of information into that. So it's a very brief overview of the system. Hey, this is our 4-step system, a little bit about case studies, and then more of just a backstory of the owner. So it's, hey, you know, or my partner, I should say. It's kind of a weird, but you know, it's, hey, this is who I am. This is how I got started. Here's case studies. Here's a little bit more information. And then we'll say, hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you know, look at everything below. We have a lot of great results. That's a shorter one. On the higher end one, it's very structured. And the front end of it is, hey, this is who we are. This is why you should listen to us. These are our credentials. And then it gets into more of social proof about us, what we've done. You know, kind of really, really ingraining why you should listen to us. Then we get into client testimonials. Then we get into a full breakdown of each step of the system. Then we get into more case studies, client results, all of that. And then at the last end of it, then we're getting into here are the deliverables. This is what's all included. Everything without getting to the price. So it really can be this big drawn out presentation. It's almost like a mini webinar to, you know, to be quite honest with you. But then obviously on the short end, it's more so just, hey, you know, here's a little intro to us, our story, our results, and we leave it at that.
Thank you. Do you actually try to close in the very first call, or do you just do like a custom, you can say proposal for them, and then give it to them the very next time that you actually meet them and close them in the second call?
That's a really good question. And for our standard straight up, they went through an application type of sales process. It's a one call close. And the reason for that is obviously, you know, as anybody knows, if you've been in sales, the chances of somebody closing, you know, on a follow up, it happens. Don't get me wrong, but it's less. Is really what it comes down to because people disappear, they change their mind, they're not as emotionally in that state to actually buy. So for our ideal prospect across the board, it's always a one call close. Whatever we can do, or even getting a micro commitment, you know, without being pushy. We're not trying to, you know, get somebody into buying us, steal their money. But, you know, for our sake and theirs, we want them to take action. So if we do a deposit, even, you know, having booking an onboarding call with us, it's a micro commitment in the right direction. So we're always trying to get that on call number one. Now, we do have a setter close process, and that is only for leads that don't fill out the application. So again, like I said, the low ticket funnel came through our community, something like that. Then we have a setter reach out. Setter asks the same questions on the application, and then they move them into the call. But whenever it hits a closer, the closer is trying to close.
Thank you. Let's say you have a package for like 12,000, or do you have packages that are higher than that?
On an annual basis, yes, not that we're charging up front.
Okay. So let's say, how do you get someone to actually pay on the call?
It really comes to, I mean, it sounds very stupid, but it's asking, like, are you ready to move forward? Like, let's get started, let's lock you in. And we are very productized with everything that we do. We don't do invoices, we don't do, anything crazy. We have a standard checkout that we'll send to the client and we'll say, hey, are you ready to go? Our first step is signing the agreement. Again, micro commitment, getting them in without actually paying. After they sign the agreement, shoots them to a credit card form where they actually check out and buy. But the biggest thing is, obviously handling objections. There's only a couple that are real, trust, all that stuff. And then after that, it's asking, it's saying, hey, are you ready to move forward? Let's move forward. I think this is great for you. I would hate for you to miss out. Too many times, whenever we're working with somebody or we're like, hey, like, why isn't this person closing? They're just not asking. They're not handling objections and they're not confident in their ask.
Thank you. So, are you saying that people sign the agreement there and then on the call, or is it that they sign it right after and then they pay right after?
Yeah, so it's right then and there on the call. We are very reluctant to let somebody get off the call and do that themselves. Obviously, if somebody wants to sign, read the agreement, get it reviewed by a lawyer, absolutely. Like we're never gonna advise somebody to do something that they, want to do, especially like getting legal advice. But for the most part, we have a very simple contract. It's not anything that you would need to get a lawyer to review if you have, just eyes and you can read it. So we'll always stay on the call and I would rather our team would rather our sales manager would rather have them miss the next call to stay on, make sure they sign the agreement and pay versus just being like, hey, sign it, I gotta go. Because again, the chances of it's the same thing as a follow-up. The chances of them doing it themselves is very low. We also don't want somebody to get lost in the process where it's like, hey, they signed the agreement, but then they didn't pay. And now we're tracking them down to get payment out of them.
Thank you. So you find that people pay like 12,000 on the call, or they just pay like the 1,000 commitment that is for the month?
It really depends. It really depends on how good of a job we did with the VSL and the retargeting. Some people are ready to go. They understand that they're getting on the phone with us to buy and it'll just click and it'll happen. Again, some people, we move to a deposit and then you absolutely do have somebody that you move to a follow-up. And ideally, again, booking the follow-up within 24 to 48 hours is always going to help. So it's not every single call is a one call close. I would say 30 to 40% of calls are, which is really, really good. I wouldn't ask for any more. But obviously a lot of people are going to follow-ups.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.